When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hey gang, how you doing?
Hello, hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Zoe, what's up? Are you still locked up in a hotel?
I was never locked up in a hotel.
Oh. Where were you?
I'm in my parents' house right now, but I'm done with quarantine. So
same as a hotel. Parents' house, same as a hotel.
I wasn't stuck here the whole time. I'm just leaving my house so that other people can go in my house.
Do they cook for you, your parents?
They will. So everybody, like, it's when this episode airs, this will be far over. So I don't want everybody to think that, like, when this airs, that we all have COVID. But, like, we all have COVID while we're making right now. And last week, obviously, we're at the end. It's almost the end. But my mom got it and I got it. And so anyway, but we all had mild cases. So there you go. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Very interesting.
I went 2.5 years without catching COVID. So
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's taking care of yourself right there.
Not bad. Did you ever get it, Hannah, or no?
Still haven't gotten it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Lamorne's been catching it for me. Lamorne's been catching it for me. You've had it like 3 times.
I got it twice.
You got it twice. That's right. Twice. For me and for you. You took one for the team. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I thought it was like so special that I hadn't gotten it. And then
it's inevitable. It's a matter of
when. Daughter brought it home. Yeah, exactly. She got it and, you know, and I got it.
Look, everybody's stronger for it.
Yeah, we're all okay.
Can we have to dive in and do this episode? It's one of my favorite episodes.
I love this episode so much. Yeah, I love it too.
Secrets.
Directed by David Wayne.
David Wayne.
Oh, wait, you guys, I just want to say something about last week's episode.
Sure.
Which was Fancy Man 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't mention our director, which was Matt Shakman. And he's awesome.
Oh, yes.
So I just want to give a shout out to him. He's awesome. He's done like tons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Game of Thrones, and he's an excellent director. We only got to have him one time on New Girl, sadly, but just wanted to mention him since, you know, mentioned people.
Well, shout out to Matt.
Other directors.
Shout out to Matt.
Yeah. Shout out to Matt. Anyway, back to this week's episode. David Wayne.
Secrets.
Great director.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
He makes an appearance in this episode.
Multiple times.
He does.
Multiple times. If you're not familiar with David Wayne, he's a fantastic director. Wet Hot American Summer. That guy.
Wet Hot American Summer is one of my favorite comedies.
Yeah.
Such a great movie.
He's an actor, director, writer, and you can tell he has his hands on this episode. There was a moment, I guess we can get into it later. There was a moment where he was very hands on / hands off with the scene that I did, and it was the first time me being on that show where I felt completely 100% free to perform.
Wow.
And then I thought, man,
was it Theodore K. Mullins?
It was the Theodore K. Mullins monologue. That thing.
I mean, you went there.
You went there. Was that like an Oprah Winfrey quote? Like the
right. That was going to be a little trivia thing that
from
I was going to do.
Purple. Yeah.
Yeah. When I said you told Harpo to beat. That was just that. That was just that one line from the Color Purple.
Yeah, I remembered that line from Color Purple, and
I'll just talk about it.
How was it on the page?
It wasn't as in depth. It wasn't as in depth on the page. I remember it being very loose, and David saying to me, "Just try a couple takes at it and play with it, have fun." And I remember doing a take. It might have been the first take, and he never called cut. And I just kept doing bits. I just kept saying stuff. And then I was so used to, you know, sometimes on the show, if I go off the rails completely, we don't have a lot of time for that. You would hear a cut. And I just remember seeing him laughing behind the monitor. And I just took that as a sign to just keep making stuff up. And it was, again, like I said, one of the first times where I felt completely free to just do whatever. Throwing the "you told Harpo to beat me" line in there, that this whole bit is like the Theodore K. Mullins bit, the whole bit is like a ode to like old black churches and like,
let's set the scene if you're listening. So this is the scene in the episode where Nick has been
we're kind of jumping to the end, I will say that.
Right, this is
It's a moment
Where he's been caught lying to multiple girls and he doesn't know how to get them out of the house. And so Winston's character steps in and pretends to be Nick's lover on the down low.
That's right.
To get these women to race out of the house. And then Lamorne is now explaining how he came up with this crazy character.
Yeah, the voice, the character Theodore K. Mullins, obviously it comes from, like I've said before, the actor Russell Hornsby. That was just me doing exaggerated version of his vocal pattern and his vocal quality, but it turned into this weird thing. And in this monologue, I just felt the freedom to just pull in, you know, Negro spirituals. And I don't know why I went there with it. But they didn't cut it. And so it turned out to be what it was. And from that moment on, I felt free to do things on the show.
It's like you're on the brink of tears, but also like full of rage.
Yeah.
It's like this marriage of these two things that makes everybody feel like a little uncomfortable because it sounds like you're just about to pop off and you don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
Which is very effective in clearing a room, which is what you're trying to do.
Oh, 100%. It's a very, you know, what's love got to do with it?
Yeah.
You know, type of performance, I guess.
Ike.
Exactly. You told Harpo to beat me. Shout out to all the Color Purple fans out there. Shout out to one of our longtime listeners, Oprah Winfrey.
Big fan. Huge.
Oprah's a big fan of our show. She posts about it all the time.
Okay.
And that was
she's bought all
her.
Our merch, by the way. We just launched merch for this podcast, and it's sold out.
And Oprah has purchased all of it. Sorry, guys.
Well, there's a few pieces left. Just a few. If you go to the website, you might grab the few that that Ms. Winfrey didn't get.
Oprah is just sitting in her Montecito mansion, wearing a welcome to our show.
The mug.
Shirt with the mug. She's got a hat and definitely
she's covered in the enamel pins.
She's got her golden retrievers snuggling up. She's reading a good book.
Yeah.
With her private jet that she shares with Zoe outside in the back.
All right, I will support that rumor.
Yeah, that's a great rumor. Hop on that.
We just share.
Let's start from the top of this episode.
Okay.
Now that we're halfway through. Because it's one of my favorite openings ever because it's where we first get to meet Nadia. What is now like this infamous line.
Oh God.
I'll let Lamorne say.
What, which one? Jewel in the couch?
That's right.
Why you won't let me say it?
You said it now, not
just
me.
Just as bad.
That's on you.
Well, the writers of New Girl, hopefully a Jewish writer said wrote Jewel in the couch and then you kinda check her a little bit.
That's right. I said, you're in America. You can't say that. And so she says,
Jew person in the couch.
That's right. The thing that I remember is because it was our first time really like working together in that scene is Max genuinely having to be buried in that couch, claustrophobic, and then having to pop out. And it's right on that line. And he goes, she's not wrong. Right. Yeah. And he broke almost every single time. I think that's when we all got so caught off guard by how incredibly funny Rebecca is. Yeah. Just naturally, she just makes you laugh. Just who she is. She has that impact on you. And it was our first experience. I just remember him breaking and laughing and me just being like, oh, I hope she sticks around. She's amazing. Oh, yeah. I hope we're roommates on this show.
Was that the first time we saw your apartment as well?
I feel like it might be.
Because I remember I forget why I saw that apartment when we were filming. I think it was built on another stage.
Was it on the stage next door?
It was on the stage next door.
Stage.
Yeah, they finally 19? Ended up building it. It used to be a flex set, so it would come and go, and then they ended up keeping it in later seasons because we shot a bunch there.
And shout out to our set designers. I remember seeing the set and going, oh, this is cool. But then when you watch it on TV, and this happens all the time, but I just remember this one, I don't know why, this one in particular, I genuinely felt like it was a real apartment. Something about the design of it, and even
I think also the fact that you didn't spend as much time on there, you know, on that set. I think it's like how all sets, I feel like if you're watching TV and you don't spend a lot of time on it, like the actors, or the, you know, people working on the shows, it looks like a real apartment. All our sets were so good. I do have to say.
And fun fact about that scene as well, Max did 1,000 push-ups before and a bunch of crunches. So I don't want you to think, I don't want the fans out there to think he just looks like that. No, he was getting pumped up in between each scene. So, you know. There's that.
So this first scene, I was going to say, I love that Jess is listening to Diane Keaton's autobiography. That always made me laugh. which of course she is. And so Jess comes to Cece's apartment and Cece's acting weird. They're supposed to be training for a 5K or a 10K. Yeah. And I also find it funny that they're running that 5K. It's like a 5K, and it's not that much distance. Like a 5K doesn't take that long to run it, and it's like they're running it into the night. Like the end of the episode is like nighttime. It's like, how slow is Jess? She can't be that slow.
That would probably be me in real life. Like everything is a walkathon. There's no way. I don't run.
You're not a runner?
No, absolutely
I'm not. Gonna lie to you.
Not.
Not gonna lie to you. We couldn't tell by your form in the episode.
I will never forget showing up to shoot that part, and I was just like, "Okay, so how are we gonna like fudge this?" And David Wayne was like, "You're going to run. You're going to just run across the camera. It's like not a lot of running. I was like, yeah, but how many takes? I was like, that's real running. I was like, I'll run. I was like, not excited about it at all.
I know. I thought it was funny. They were like, I used to like, I mean, I wasn't at that time, but I was like a runner. Like I would run every day. Like it was my thing. I'd run like 6 days a week. And that they're like, okay. And Hannah, Hannah's amazing at running and you're so awful. It takes you like 6 hours to run a 5K. Yeah, like you'd have to be like walking slowly.
We had to do our best acting because it was,
we had to do
very good acting. You had to act like
I'm
a
not
bad
saying
runner.
I don't run with terrible, stupid form, but I did used to run a lot.
If you see arms flailing on the street, it's probably
the other big memory I had watching this episode was when we're stretching outside of the loft.
Yeah,
you're Jess is stretching and Cece's trying to apologize. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember really clearly.
There were paparazzi
taking pictures, and I personally, as Hannah, had never experienced paparazzi before.
It was like a massive amount of paparazzi too. It was like a press line. Like there were
a lot,
and
I was very like
across the street. It was uncomfortable.
I was very like, didn't know what to do. We're trying to shoot. We're trying to do a thing. And I'll never forget you walked over to me because I was just like, what are we supposed to do? Do we run and hide in the building? Do they leave? Like, what do we do? And you came and you put your arm around me and you're like, if we just look and smile and let them take their pictures, it'll go away. And so that's what we did. We sat there. We gave each other a hug. We smiled. We waved. And then the whole thing dissipated. And you kind of like walked me through that first moment. I remember that really clearly.
I forgot that there were like times where they had paparazzi. Remember when we would shoot on the roof of that building and like, what was it?
MacArthur Park.
MacArthur Park, that building across from MacArthur Park. And we'd shoot on the roof and there would be like paparazzi in the building across the way taking pictures of us shooting.
I remember
one time they took a picture with like a really unflattering lens or something. And I was like, oh my God, I was like wearing shorts or a short skirt. And I was like, oh my God, I looked so bad in that picture. Like, oh my, how did I end up wearing this unflattering outfit? And then the show came out and I looked totally fine. And I was like, they have like purposefully unflattering, like opposite of Instagram filter. It's like
me the reverse filter.
Me and my girlfriend, we have a good relationship with paparazzi where they never take photos of us whenever we're out. And so that's why you've never seen photos of me and my girlfriend out and about in the street. You just
Your girlfriend, Zoe Kravitz?
Zoe Kravitz, yeah. So you wouldn't believe
that
we were dating.
She's imaginary. Helps the paparazzi.
No, very real, very
real. She's not imaginary, but the relationship is.
That's what we want you guys to think. You know what I mean? Yeah. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making you believe he wasn't real.
Okay.
So in this relationship, what happens in this episode is you come by, blah, 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 blah. Something's going on. It's a little off.
Yeah. Is this the first time we realize like Nick's a terrible liar?
Yes. Sweatbag.
Yeah. This is like, this becomes kind of a trope is that you can't hold the secret any longer. You tell Nick, Nick's a terrible liar, which has also been established because he can't lie to the girl that was leaving the apartment. And I come back and quickly identify that Nick is lying to me.
He's lying.
By his sweaty back.
Well, he doesn't even really put up a fight either. That's the funniest part about the whole thing.
Yeah.
He immediately breaks because he just can't handle it.
Takes is for me to say fold, 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 fold. And he does it.
I didn't fully remember this episode, but then I watched it. I was like, why does Jess feel so entitled to know that they were sleeping together?
Her best friend.
I think angry about it. I was just like, holy smokes. It just seemed like to be angry. I guess it's that how hurt shows itself.
It wasn't the anger like that they were together. It was the anger that they were keeping it from her.
Yeah.
I would be upset about that. I wouldn't be as mad, but especially if it were going on for that long, I would go, well, why did you tell me?
Yeah. Why did you feel the need to keep it from me? I think, and it's like my roommate, my best friend. Like, I mean, I get it. And also the fact Jess is the person that always tells everything. So she kind of thinks everybody else is
right.
Always being completely 100% upfront about everything.
Right.
It also is pretty messy for CC to be hooking up with your best friend's roommate. Because if things go south, there can be a domino effect on that.
She's sloppy. Y'all.
That's true. Yeah. That is very, very, very messy.
That's the takeaway from your character so far. Is that you're messy. You're sloppy and you're messy.
I kind of agree, to be honest with you. I was just like, get your house in order. What are you doing?
Your character has taken a dramatic leap as far as maturity, I will say, in this show. So different how you are in the first season, how you are in the final season when you're a mother and you're married and you own your own business. It's so, you would not think you were the exact same person from season one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like also this storyline that Cece and Schmidt had was something that I really kind of had to figure out for myself. Mm-hmm. This idea that physical intimacy was like really easy and super casual for them. Mm-hmm. And the emotional intimacy was really, really hard. And that was the scary thing. Yeah. Right. Because I feel like for me, at least growing up, for so many of my friends, it was the opposite. Right. Like they were so open and easy with their hearts to like fall in love with the next boy. Like every single week it was fine. They were open hearted. But then being physically intimate was a lot scarier. And it was a much longer game before any of that was going to happen. So when this character, when I learned that about Cece, that she's just like, oh, no, that's fine.
Right.
I'll hook up. And that's like, that's not a big deal. Doesn't scare me. I don't worry about it. But catching feelings is terrifying and I will dodge that as long as I can. It was very different to kind of see how that world works.
Was this the first time we saw this version of Jess? Just angry, like this type? I know we had seen you and injured a little mean towards Nick due to his circumstance, but in this one, you know, would you say this is one of the first times that it was directed towards Cece? Maybe.
Well, no, because they have that little loft fight, right? The My Face is My Job loft fight. I remember that. I feel like that happens.
It's not a big like this, fight, though.
That was a physical fight.
Wait, what you guys were...
Oh, that one? I don't remember, but...
The Face is My Job, and you're, like, jumping on my back, my earring gets caught. I mean, showed me that these were, like, that was sisters. Early on. These are like sisters and how they can, you're free to get mad at the other person because you know it doesn't impact your love for them or them leaving your life or something. And that showed me in this episode, like how deep the sisterhood ran between the girls.
Well, I think it was just really freaking lame that you went to the movies with Jessica P. I just can't believe you would go to see My Girl with Jessica P. So I'd like you to answer for that.
We do a lot of
freaking pee.
We do a lot of bits on the show, and we say a lot of ridiculous things on the show. I have to say, as the circumstance being so ridiculous that you're mad about something that happened that long ago was, but you, the way you played it was so convincing. Even though you had a mask on your face, and I felt like you were tearing up. I was like, damn, she played that so real. And
I was
honest.
Upset about it.
That would have been a fun thing to have happen in later seasons. Is Jessica P's in town?
If Jessica P should have come back.
Yeah, she should have come back. I want to know who she is. I want to know what happened that you get so mad that it was her.
No, I could just picture it. It's like, you know, like some new person comes into your class and their name is also Jessica and they're cool and they want to be friends with your friend. And, you know, I can relate to this.
I've never had that problem. another Lamorne has, another Lamorne has never showed up to my class. Never. There's been a few Lamars, but it's not the same.
No Lamorne. I will say this, yeah. Going by the first letter of your last name, though, is a good way to distinguish between people who have the same first name, because I remember there was two girls called Sarah in my dorm, mm-hmm. and one was, I don't know, my height, let's say. And the other one, she was actually quite short, like super short. So they people called her, I did not, but people to find them be like Big Sarah and Little Sarah. Mm-hmm. But no girl wants to be called like Big Hannah. You know what I'm saying? So even though there was nothing big about Big Sarah, it was just comparatively to the other Sarah.
Yep.
It was Big Sarah and Little Sarah for all of college. And it was just like this weird way of differentiating between these two names. And now I'm like, they should have just been like, that's Sarah F and that's Sarah T. That would have been a lot easier and more of an accurate description.
On this episode, y'all, we have something else that's interesting. There's another first on this episode where, you know the dynamic between the guys on the show. We have the same feeling about Schmidt and his behavior, and we just let him be who he is going to be. And we're not necessarily fans of it, but we love him. Nick actually goes to Schmidt for advice about how to sleep around, which I thought was...
how to be a douchebag. Teach me to be a douchebag.
There's something about the way Jake is playing this that I found to be so refreshing, because it was funny. It was like a guy trying. I've never seen that. A guy trying to. It's like a workshop of how to be a douchebag, and the dynamic between them two, the lessons, the in the bed or doing the chalkboard thing, the air chalkboard, that's the invisible chalkboard. I don't know. I thought that was very, very funny.
I also felt like all those girls were so territorial.
I know. They're very possessive.
Like, weirdly possessive.
Well, when you're doing what Nick is doing, you can't help it. Nick is a lover.
I just thought it was amazing to see how you could change your mind about somebody so quickly. And just because they learned that he's sleeping with Cece, all of a sudden, he's a voice to be trusted. He's an expert in the realm. Just because one woman has lost her mind.
Yes.
There's a flip to this, which is why I also love the tag of this episode, too, because it's kind of the first time you see Cece and Winston's dynamic and chemistry. I think it's the first thing we ever shot, just the two of us.
I think so. I think so.
And it's just so funny, you just listing all of these reasons, because you're going, there's no way. There's no way he's that good. So are you okay?
Yeah, blink twice if you're okay.
What's happening to you? Which I think was
been human trafficked.
That's right. Schmidt has benefited.
Oh, 100%. Let's see. What better advice could we have given to Nick?
Yeah, what advice would you give Nick?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. How he handled it at the marathon was actually very good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a lie, but it was,
That's okay. It's to save some people's feelings, get out of the situation. Because as Zoe said, I think they're kind of being unreasonable too.
They are.
They're being unreasonable.
So you got to just kind of like moonwalk backwards out of it.
They're being unreasonable, but he's also like on a tear. Like,
that's right.
Somehow from one week to the next, he has like amassed like half a dozen college age lovers.
And I also think that's the reason why they are behaving the way they are. There's a maturity level there.
If
he's dating college girls, and they're gonna behave that way.
They're falling in love at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, he's a sophisticated bartender.
The Janine scene where it was Nick and Schmidt lying in bed together with you watching, by the way. And
that's right.
You know that moment, which is definitely was never written and on the page, is when Max goes like that. And you hear Jake go, don't make that sound. Don't make that sound. Don't do that. And you're like, no, that definitely was not written. That was not part of the script.
I thought that it was funny. You know, it was like a joke on top of a joke where they're together. And then it's been established like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then Jess comes in and says... Is this happening too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very farcical. I love when the like farcical elements of New Girl come out. Oh, another thing I will say that's unique to David Wayne, and students of cinema will notice, this episode had a lot more Steadicam than most episodes of New Girl. He had Steadicam. He just likes to use it a lot. So like he wanted everything in motion. So there's like a lot of Steadicam on this episode.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you could, and you feel it a lot too in moments when, especially in comedy, it's fun to do that. The scene feels, and when you improvise, you can feel it too. You can, it feels more natural that way. Just like you said, especially, I'm not sure if Steadicam was used in that scene when they're on the bed. But in that moment, they're, like you said, Hannah, they're improvising a lot.
Yeah, you can just tell that Max is trying to make Jake as uncomfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you feel Jake going like, I have to be here because I have to get this advice from you. But stop doing all the extra stuff. That's not what's in this scene, Max. Yeah. Just do the scene. Don't touch me. Why are you touching? You could just see the whole thing unfold. It really made me laugh to watch him feel that uncomfortable.
And that's a shout out to David Wayne again for letting that, letting that
breathe. Know he didn't call cut.
Yeah, of course not. Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't.
If you're looking for David Wayne in this episode, by the way, at the end, you see him in the marathon, like break through the runners and say, heads up, I'm peeing. That's David Wayne.
Heads up, I'm peeing. Yes, that is David Wayne. And on that note, we will go to break. And when we come back, we will show you the deleted scene of David Wayne peeing.
But should we just mention that we have a merch store?
Yeah,
we got some t-shirts going.
I'm sitting here drinking out of the mug right now.
The mug is great.
I know, I love
the mug.
The
mug is great. I had some soup in my mug the other day. We have mugs, sweatshirts. You can see us modeling some of these on our Instagram pages. So check it out. Some really great artwork. I'm very excited for you guys to check it out.
So I will say my family is crazy excited about this merch launch because they, you know, they're Indians and they like to rep. They like to rep in the streets hard. And there was never any merch for the show, like the show. And so the fact now that there is merch that has our faces on it, looking cute, and our show, our podcast on it, they're like, we'll take one of everything. And they're just head to toe, sporting it down the street.
When they go to New York, do they wear shirts that say, I love New York, and hats that say, I love New York?
If New York was their daughter or their son, they would. It's only in the family. They like to rep it very hard.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was wearing a hat out in Nashville, and I had to give it away.
Did someone find you?
A lot of people found me, but I kept negotiating not to give the hat up. I would trade a selfie
they were
for
like,
the hat.
Give me your hat.
Yeah, so
no,
he
posted that he would give you the hat if you found him.
I don't read.
So. Yeah. No, me and my friends were out, and I was spotted a bunch of times. And if they had seen my Instagram, sometimes you'd hear from across the street, give me the hat. I would go, damn it. And I would run another direction.
You're not making good on your promise.
You lied. No,
I ultimately gave it away. I ultimately ended up having to give it away. I'll post that video on my Instagram.
Somebody finally caught up with you.
They did. They cornered me.
Okay, let's dive back into this episode, because here's another big thing that happens in this episode that got me thinking, right? Because there are a lot of roommates, boy-girl roommates, especially now, because it's so expensive to live anywhere, so people are roommating up again. Do you think it changes the dynamic if you found out that your roommate was thinking about you during an intimate moment with themselves? Or is
that
normal?
That's not stuff that should be shared.
Keep it a secret.
Some stuff is meant because
it
to
will
stay a
change
secret.
The dynamic.
Yeah, don't. That's not stuff to share.
It would. And in this episode, which is what I find to be so funny, is that the next episode, we don't mention it. It doesn't affect us at all. In fact, Schmidt talks about it right in front of Cece.
I know.
Right in front of Cece. I was like, is that a normal thing people do?
I said, you just told me you think about my best friend sitting there, who's, by the way, like hard shipping us right now when you are alone. I mean, very progressive dynamic going on. Way more mature than me. I'll
say
that.
Shout out to Big Love on HBO. that reminds me of
Sister Wives.
Sister Wives, for sure.
It is really sweet though, because you do see at the end Jess being able to like keep a secret, unlike all of those weak men in the episode, and to actually enjoy the relationship. Which is then you see that she wasn't mad that they're together. She's just mad that her best friend.
Yeah, she just wants her best friend to tell her stuff. Yeah, I get that.
Oh yeah, sweet. And that concluded that episode. Overall,
I loved that episode. I really did.
Yeah.
And it,
I do too.
And by the way, the other thing, because, you know, I get the stress of where's the bear?
Tell us everything.
Now it's time for Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear is brought to you by Hyundai. When it comes to your journey, Hyundai is thinking of every mile. Honestly, it becomes stressful for me because I feel like I have this big thing to prove. This one made it so easy because Jake just like shouts bear like 50 times when he's panic lying. He's like bears, magic bears, bears when he's talking about his phone. Where's phone?
Yep. Like?
Thank you, Jake Johnson.
Thank you, Jake Johnson, for making it very easy for me this episode. Slam dunk. Found that bear.
Amazing. Classic.
Thanks for helping us with our Bear Hunt Hyundai. Remember, with Hyundai, it's all about the journey. Whatever your destination, they've got the latest tech to get you there safe and keep your passengers entertained along the way. From shopping to buying to owning, Hyundai has your back. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. I also will say thank you to everybody that is sliding into my DMs and telling me where the bears are in past episodes where I couldn't find them. I'm going to screen grab it and post it because it's very helpful. Yes, I have a team of bear detectives now who listen to the podcast and then help me comb through episodes. So appreciate
you must
y'all.
Have to rifle through some weird messages to find.
Yeah. You know what I will say? Everybody
bear means
is like
more than one thing.
Everybody is actually very sweet in the DMs, so I appreciate that. If you have something nasty to say, you take that to my brother Lamorne, and he will handle the responses.
Well, I will filter through them and then DM them to Hannah myself. They will get to you, Hannah.
Eventually.
Yes.
They'll be redacted.
We're learning about secrets. Keep those to yourself. Keep those thoughts to yourself. Nobody wants to hear them. Just have it and shut it down.
Any closing remarks on this episode for me? I love David Wayne. This is my first time.
I love David Wayne too. He's so great.
He will be on our show, folks. We will be doing a personal interview with David Wayne. We will talk about New Girl and some of the other stuff he's got going on. So stay tuned for that.
And we're going to go to break and we're going to hear from some sponsors. We're back from the break. How's everybody doing?
Good. That was a good break, you guys. I had fun on that one.
Me too.
It's a really good break.
Such a great break. Are you ready for True American?
I am. You know what? I am. I want to do this. Let's jump into it.
We should do True Canadian just for Hannah.
Yeah, we should.
We'll do True Canadian and we'll invite Jonathan and Jesse on and we will test them on their Canadian
knowledge. You
guys can
talk about Tim Hortons and stuff like that. Timmy's.
Little Timbits.
True American. All right. Welcome to True American, where the rules change weekly and you leave more confused than when you showed up. Today, we're playing Two Truths and a Lie, President's Edition. Our producer, Joelle, has culminated a list of interesting facts about five well-known presidents. We have to decipher fact from fiction. All right?
Well, let me just start by saying this. It might be unfair because anybody who knows me knows that I'm an expert on all things presidents.
We're going to see if like art and life have a reflection here going on, because the quiz, you know, episode that we did with you wasn't your strong suit. So now let's see if Lamorne is better than Winston. Quizzes.
I'm the king.
Trivia.
All right. Abe Lincoln. There are three options and we have to pick which ones are true and which one is a lie. Okay.
Okay.
One was the first president to be photographed at his inauguration. Hmm. Two was married at the age of 23. Or three was a captain in the Black Hawk War.
Hmm. I'm going to say the lie.
I'm going to say the lie is was a captain in the Black Hawk War. I've never heard of the Black
never
Hawk
heard
War,
of it.
Yeah.
I've heard of marriage and of photographs. So I agree with you. he was married at 33.
33. Oh. He was a young player. He was a young
Black
player.
Black Hawk War, I've never heard of.
Let me tell you something.
I gotta Google that now.
When your name is Abe Lincoln, your name is Abe Lincoln, you're going to wait to get married, okay? Okay. You're young 20s, you out here.
Stand corrected.
Abraham would have got married at 23, but Abe?
Yeah, Abe.
That's 33.
Come on.
He's holding out.
Come on now.
All right, okay. George Washington. Okay, is it A, had wooden teeth, B, he was born in Virginia, C, began inheriting enslaved people at 11 years old?
I'm gonna go with B, was born in Virginia.
I know George Washington had enslaved people, and I know he had wooden teeth. I know he lived in Virginia, but I don't know if he was born in Virginia.
I don't think he was born in Virginia. I want to say he was born in Springfield,
Illinois. West Virginia. Okay, so we're saying that he wasn't born in Virginia. His false teeth were made
from the teeth of the people he enslaved. What?
What? Is that true? No.
That's straight facts. They're in a museum. You can see them. They're pretty horrifying. That's straight facts.
They're not wooden?
No, I think they. That was his publicist put that out there, Zoe, and we believed it.
I believed the wooden teeth.
Whoa! Do we have to fact check this one? Oh my god! I am burning my $5.
That is like. I mean,
he said, I'm going to free the slaves, but I'm going to keep their teeth so I can have them. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Actually,
can we
move
on to JFK? Okay. I'm over George.
Abe Lincoln.
I'm over George, too. It's like really hard with like these people.
Mm-hmm.
I
feel like we're back in the sad song, True American.
Oh, my God.
I know. Now I feel like depressed.
Tears from heaven. That's what I'm back in there. I'm back in that mindset and that vibe. All right, JFK. Go for it, Lamorne.
John F. Kennedy. A, youngest president ever elected. B, second oldest of 9 children. Or C, graduated from Yale.
I think C is
you
a
think
lie.
It's C?
What about you?
I thought he was... I can't believe
of 9 children. That just seems...
My grandma had 9 kids.
Yeah, he was from a Catholic, like Irish Catholic family.
They were doing it.
So they had a lot of kids.
They were doing it.
And she was, and he was younger than Obama, correct? Right?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
All right. So fine. You can convince me. He never went to Yale.
He went to Howard. That's right.
He went to Howard. He went to Harvard and Princeton.
And Princeton.
Look at you, Zoe.
Oh, wow.
That's what I thought he went to.
Know those Kennedys. All right. Wrap it
up.
I feel like Theodore Mullins should do Theodore Roosevelt. Do another one.
Yeah. Come on, Theodore.
And do it like Theodore.
Theodore Roosevelt. Hey, father of the modern army. B, wrote 35 books. And C, first U.S. president to win a Nobel Peace Prize.
I don't think he won a Nobel Peace Prize.
I don't think so either.
Teddy didn't win a prize.
I'm going to say B, wrote 35 books.
You think that's a lie?
I'm going to say it was C. You're right. I don't think he won that prize.
All right. We don't think he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the father of the modern Navy?
Oh, you
not
slick.
The modern army.
Oh,
you slick something.
That
something.
One I totally believe because Theodore Roosevelt was like the men's man president. Mm. I'm actually surprised he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I am too.
I feel you like know he was like always like hunting bears.
About bear.
bears. I'm like, Anna's like so.
I'm like that little kid in squirrel
ears are like
squirrel,
attuned.
Like the dog in Up. That's me right now with bears. I want to say something about us, you guys, right now, because yes. playing yes. that game, you would think mm-hmm. We would each pick a different answer and see who won to get it right. But it shows we operate as a team. We all agreed
we are
on our answer. We were going to win or lose together.
Unity.
That's how we're
Can
repping
I say
this
I'm
week.
Proud to be on a team with you two?
You know, Thank I feel you. The same way.
I'm so proud, you guys. We did it. We did it. We did it.
We did it this time.
No secrets
we
here.
It.
We're on the
we
same
did it.
Team. But keep appropriate secrets, those nighttime thoughts to yourself.
I don't
You're
have
welcome.
Nighttime thoughts. I don't. I go to sleep. My grandma always said, the nighttime is when the devil comes out. Okay. So I go to bed.
Is that what she said?
I don't think so. don't. My grandma had 9 kids.
That's right. She locked the door and said, I'm done. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. She's like, bye, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Nine.
Oh, Theodora K. Mullins has a request. What is it, Theodora K. Mullins?
Hey, guys, I just want you to remember something. My ancestors just tapped into my DNA, and they said that we're okay. going to be doing more Q&As down the line.
Are we?
Yeah, both
Tell
as,
me more.
Both as hosts and with some of our guests. And we also have some follow-up to that. If you have a question for us, feel free to send us an email. That's new to me because I'm from the olden days. Also send us a voice memo at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. That's welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Please list the person or persons the message is for in the subject line. We look forward to hearing from you. Told Harpo to beat me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Theodore.
Thank you, Theodore. We will play your voice memos on the show.
That's
so
right.
Tune
on the
in
show.
To hear
as
yourself.
Long as it's not weird, don't get weird.
If they're weird, I will play them for my friends and family. Yeah. Okay, guys. It was great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
But we have to go. Folks,
see you
we love
week.
You. See you next week.
Yes.
We have a merch line out, right? We have a merch line out, right?
Yeah, links in all our bios, I think.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah.
Link in bio.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReader. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at Welcome to Our Show Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.